Well, thank you, Brother Ashley. I really appreciate that. I'm honored by that. It makes me feel a lot better than Dad did a little while ago when he said if he'd known I was preaching tonight, he wouldn't have come. It wouldn't have felt so bad if he'd been joking. No. Yeah, you can go ahead and be turning to the book of Genesis, chapter number 22. I know he was joking. I love him very much. Love my pastor. Love this church. So glad. I know. I hope you're not tired of hearing my voice. And I promise you I won't preach as long as I teach on Sunday mornings. I only got 4 pages of notes. I usually have 9 on Sunday mornings. All right. Genesis chapter 22. Verse number 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took 2 of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the 3rd day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, both of them, together. If the Lord would help me for just a little while tonight, I want to preach on go yonder to worship. Would you stretch your hands this way and ask the Lord to help us? Father, oh God, I come before you tonight, Lord. God, I need your help. Lord, I need your anointing. Lord, would you meet us in this service tonight? Would you move in this service tonight, Lord? Oh, God, would you make us thirsty for you, Lord? God, we love you. We ask you all these things in your name. Amen and amen, amen, amen. When I begin to pray about this message, I don't know how that other preachers do it. I may be different from other preachers, but I struggle sometimes, and I'll drive along the road, and I'll preach messages to myself, and I'll get off on a tangent. I'll just do everything in the truck. I'll probably look crazy to people, but I'll preach. And anyway, I was driving down the road, and I felt like the Lord laid this message on my heart, and I thought, Lord, I feel like I've preached that. I feel like I've preached worship a lot. I know that I preached a little bit last time, and the time before last, I preached on worship. And I kind of questioned God, thought, do you really want me to preach on worship again? And I felt like the Lord began to deal with me as I studied and prayed about it, that it's missing from the church today, that worship, real worship, is missing. I know that when we had a sign, we had it on the sign that said Sunday morning worship. We had it on the sign that said Sunday night worship. We had Wednesday night worship. But I wonder sometimes if we're not lying a little bit to ourselves, and we're not maybe lying to the community when we say that we're having a worship service, because sometimes I don't know how much worship is really going on in the worship service. And I really, as I began to study it, I started wondering if some, and I'm not pointing at nobody, but I'm talking to myself here, I began to wonder if many of us have ever really had a real worship experience. A real worship experience. Now, I love music. I love getting in, but you know what? The world loves music, and they love getting in. And it's one thing when you come to church and you feel hear the music and you feel that beat of the drum and you start to, you know, move a little bit with it and you'll bounce a little bit with it. But I guarantee you go to a concert right now and there's somebody moving with the music. There's somebody bouncing with the music. You might even see somebody jumping up and down. I wonder sometimes, are we really worshiping the Lord? We come to church and we may dance and we may shake and jump and shout, but have you ever really worshiped the Lord? Have you ever really worshiped the Lord? Because worship is more than a physical feeling, and worship is more than a mental exercise. Worship is spiritual. Worship is spiritual. We get so focused sometimes on the physical, but I like what Joel said. Joel said, rend your heart and not your garment. I'm talking about something that is spiritual. When my spirit and God's spirit begin to interact with each other, that's when worship starts happening. That's when worship starts happening. I desire your prayers tonight. I really want the Lord to help us. Worship is important to God. Worship is very important to God. Worship is important to us. You read the story in John where Jesus went to the well in Samaria. He met that woman there at the well. She was a wreck. Her life was a mess. And they got together at the well and they began to talk about water. When she walked up, Jesus said to her, I thirst. But as they begin to talk, a little bit more, they're still talking about water, Brother Ashley, but they're not really talking about water, because Jesus said to her, whosoever drinketh this water shall never thirst again. Now, I know that he's not talking about physical water here, because when I got saved, I didn't lose my desire for physical water. So he must be talking about something else. He's not talking about her physical thirst. He's talking about something else. And so he keeps on talking to her. Oh, hallelujah. He keeps on talking to her. And after he reveals her situation, he tells her, he said, you spoke well, you don't have a husband. You've had five, and you're living with a man now. He begins to reveal to her what he's really talking about, because once he reveals her situation, she gets a little spiritual with him. She says, I perceive you're a prophet. She starts talking to him about how that she's went to the mountain and worship. She starts talking about how she's went to these places and worship. But Jesus answers her, and he says, ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such a one to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So he comes to this place where he's talking to this woman, and he reveals what he's really been talking about the whole time, is that the water is the worship. He's sitting at the well, and he's talking about water, but he's been talking about worship the whole entire time. Why? Because water is to the body what worship is to the spirit. Water is to the body what worship is to the spirit. You can go a long time without food. I could probably go a very long time without food, but I couldn't go very long without water. And you may be able to go a long time without a lot of things spiritually, but you cannot go very long without worship. You have to have worship in your life. Oh, hallelujah. You have to have worship in your life. My desire tonight in preaching this sermon to you is that you get thirsty. That's what I want more than anything else in this whole entire world. I want to come to Bond, Kentucky tonight and preach to some people. And by the time I get done, I want you to be thirsty. I want you to be thirsty like you ought to be. Thirsty for the worship of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Thirsty. We must have water. We must have the water of worship in our lives. Amen. He tells her, he said, it don't matter if you're in Jerusalem. It doesn't matter if you're in the mountain. Worship is not about your location. Worship is about communion with God. Worship is not about coming to church. Worship is about talking to God. You can worship in the house. You can worship in your car. You can worship on the job. You can worship anywhere that you can talk to God. But we're living in an hour where people are coming to church and they're expecting something. They're coming to church and they're looking for something. And they're going away hurt. And they're going away dehydrated. They're going away the same way that they came, because they thought they were doing what they were supposed to do, but they're coming to the fountain and they're never getting a drink. They're coming to the fountain and they're never getting a drink of the water of Jesus. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. Thirsty church members. Thirsty church members. They're looking for something on the physical side that can only come from the spiritual side. That's why that they're struggling, is because they're coming to church and everybody's shouting and everybody's getting in, and they feel pretty good when everybody else is getting in, but they're never breaking through to real worship. They're never breaking through to that true communion with God. They're coming to the fountain, but they're never taking a drink. Help me, Holy Ghost. This is the first time the word worship was used in the Bible like this. There have been other times where men had offered offerings to God. They had sacrificed to God. But this is the first instance of the word worship. When Abraham is taking Isaac up the mountain. At this strange time here for the word worship to be used. This seemingly odd time for the word worship to be used. When Abraham uses this word worship, he's using it in its original form. If you break it down, it's worth-ship. Whatever that I am worshiping is worth what I'm doing. Whatever I'm honoring is worth what I'm doing. I've put it in a place that it's worthy of. I'm worshiping it. It's worth what I'm doing. Let me tell you something. We put a lot of worth on a lot of different things. We put worth on money. We can't get enough money. We put worth on things. We put worth on this and that. But when you're sick and the doctor says there's nothing we can do, have you put your money, have you put your worth, that is, on what is important? Have you put your worth on something that can help you in the midnight hour when the baby's sick, when something hard is happening in your life? Have you put your worth on something that can help you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Abraham uses this word worship. He's putting the worth where it ought to be, Brother Ashley. He's putting value where it needs to go. It also means to prostrate yourself before the Lord, to lay down on your face before the Lord. When you really enter into the presence of God, it will humble you. It will bow you. You won't stand in the presence of God. When you really get into that presence of the Lord, you read through the Bible, read all throughout the Bible. You'll read when men came into contact with God, most of the time they fell down. Amen. Moses and Aaron stood at the door of the temple, and they stood at the door of the tabernacle. They fell down before the Lord. They could not stand in front of him. Joshua stood before the ark and he fell down before the Lord. David stood there and he fell down. Ezekiel fell down. Daniel fell down. John the Revelator, when he had his revelation, he fell down as a dead man. He was awed by the Lord. He was awed by the Lord. Oh, I wish we'd get our awe of the Lord back again. I wish we'd put that worth back on God like he ought to have, where when he comes by, it means something to us. Oh, hallelujah. It used to mean something when the Spirit moved in the service. It used to mean something. Oh, don't you remember when you first got saved? Don't you remember when you first started seeking the Lord? Don't you remember when you were seeking the Holy Ghost? How that it meant something to you that the Spirit was moving in the service. Oh, you just wanted to get in. Oh, you just wanted to be a part of it. You come before the Lord. You were awed and impressed and so glad that the Lord had come down to where you were. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Abraham is putting the proper reverence on the Lord. He has the proper reverence for God. He's saying, we're going up on the mountain. We're going to worship. We're going up on the mountain. And if you see us in the distance, we may fall down. If you see us in the distance, don't worry about us. If we fall on our faces like dead men, that just means that the Lord has come by. Don't worry about us. If we fall out like we've died, it's just that we're falling down before the Lord. When's the last time you fell down before the Lord? Woo. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awe-inspiring God. And when you get a real relationship with our God, you won't leave the same way that you came. People will notice that there's a difference about you. When you really begin to worship the Lord, like I'm preaching about tonight, when you really begin to worship the Lord, there will be a reverence about you that other people will notice that man has been in the presence of the Lord. That woman has been in the presence of the Lord. There's a difference that the presence of the Lord makes on the life of a Christian. Woo, hallelujah. I'm feeling pretty good. Hey, man. Hallelujah. I may not be doing too good, but I'm feeling pretty good. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hey, man. Abraham left the familiar. Abraham left the familiar. The Lord spoke to him and told him, I want you to go to a place. Abraham, who had left the familiar before, he went to a different place. He didn't even know where he was going. Once again, the Lord is leading him into something new. I don't know if Abraham, I don't believe he'd ever been to this place. The Lord was leading him, but he sets out on this journey. He sets out on this quest, if you will, and he don't know where he's going, and he doesn't know what's going to happen when he gets there, but he's following the Lord. He's going to worship. Oh, hallelujah. He don't know what's going to happen. He's not sure. He's upset maybe by what the Lord's told him, but he's going to worship. He knows one thing. He's going to worship. That's all I know. I'm going to worship. I can't answer none of the other questions. I can't answer all of your questions. I can't give you an explanation. I'm just going to worship. Oh, hallelujah. I'm just going to worship. Woo. The Bible says that he lifted up his eyes and he saw the place. He lifted up his eyes and he saw the place. Now, sadly, that's where some people stop. Sadly, that's where some people get sidetracked, is that they're not where they used to be. They were back here, and they're not where they used to be. They made strides, but they get to the place where they can see the place, and they feel pretty good right there, and they don't go any further. He's not where he used to be, but he's not forgot that he's not where he's going. Some people get happy because they've made progress, but you cannot stop short of the goal that is worship. When you stop short of worship, you end up watching other people worship. You become a spectator and not a participator. Oh, hallelujah. You end up standing around and say, boy, that one looks like they're getting help. And man, ain't she shouting. Isn't this nice? I'm enjoying my time here at church tonight. I've seen a lot of people get in. Oh, you didn't come to church to see people get in. Didn't you come to church to get in for yourself? Woo, hallelujah. Oh, I wish some people would come to church to worship and not to watch. To worship and not to watch. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get thirsty and sit around and watch somebody drink a tall, cold glass of water. I don't want to get thirsty and see somebody else get some refreshment. I've got to get it for myself. Hey, man. Hey, man. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I didn't work all day and rush around trying to get ready for church tonight in the rain. Put my kids in the car, Brother Ashley, in the middle of a downpour. I didn't come to church tired and a little bit wore out just to sit around and watch somebody else get a blessing. I'm glad for you to get a blessing, but I want to get it for myself. It's wonderful, and I'm happy for you, but it does not refresh me to see you get a drink. I want to see you get a drink, but I want to be right there beside you drinking too. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Abraham looked at those boys and he said, we're going yonder to worship. Hey, man, we go yonder to worship. I wish that some people would make up their mind before they go to church that tonight I'm going to church to worship. Tonight, I'm going to church to worship. I don't know how. Amen. It might be in the singing. It might be in the preaching. Somebody may get up and take up prayer requests and blow the roof off the place. It might be in that, but I don't know how. I don't know when. It may be in the preaching, but somewhere along the line, Brother Kevin, I'm going to worship. Somewhere along the line, I'm going to worship, and I'm not going to be back to this place until I've worshiped. Don't look for me until I've worshiped. I'm not coming back until I worship. Woo! Amen. Hey, man, if you're looking for me to sit around and just hope that the end of the service comes on around as quick as it can, I'm sorry, you're going to be waiting a long time because I came to worship and I'm not leaving until I do. If you think that the point of church is to just get through it and go back to the house, you got the wrong idea. We come to worship, and that's what we're going to do before we leave these doors tonight. We're going to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Why do we come to church acting like we've got something to lose? Why do we come to church acting like there are things more important than getting a hold of God? Why do we come to church like we're holding on to things, because we're probably holding on to things. This woman at the well needed God so badly. She was in such a shape. And Jesus came with exactly what she needed, Brother Ashley. It was so much what she needed that she left the only thing she had with her. That was the bucket. She only had one thing to remember. And she ran off and left it at the well because she didn't have nothing to lose. She left everything. There was nothing more important than worshiping the Lord. I would to God that we'd come to church with a mindset that there is nothing more important than worshiping the Lord. Whew, hallelujah. There is nothing more important than worshiping the Lord. There is absolutely nothing. It is what we're called to do as Christians, is to worship the Lord. That's what makes us different. That's what makes us different. The Bible says, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. That means that everything is praising the Lord. Everything that has breath, everything. The squirrel that's running up the tree, he's praising the Lord as he goes. The animal that's running, everything that has breath is praising the Lord with the very movement, Brother Ashley. This creation that he made, everything in it is praising the Lord. What makes a Christian different is that we worship the Lord. We're not just praising the Lord, we're worshiping the Lord. It's different. It's totally different. All right? It's different. I've been to church. And I felt the Holy Ghost. I've been to church before, and I felt the Holy Ghost. I felt the Holy Ghost moving, Brother Rodney. I felt the Holy Ghost. And you know what? It felt good. And I may have jumped up and down a little bit. There's been times I've come to church, and I felt the Holy Ghost, and I run. There's been times I've come to church, and I felt the Holy Ghost, and I dance. There was even a time, you're probably not going to believe this, but I come to church, and I felt the Holy Ghost, and I ran the pews. The Lord didn't call me to do that ever again. But there's been times when I felt the Holy Ghost and I moved and I felt good when I moved. But there's been other times, Brother Ashley, when I got in the Holy Ghost. There's been other times where I got in the Holy Ghost. When I was moving and the Holy Ghost was moving through me, Brother Jeff. The Holy Ghost got a hold of me. He didn't just move on me, but he moved in me. There's a difference in worship and praise. Praise is superficial, but worship is when my spirit and God's spirit get together and I begin to worship the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. John said he was on the Isle of Patmos, but what happened to him? He got in the Spirit on the Lord's day. It's something altogether different when you get in the Spirit. I wish you'd get in the Spirit tonight. Worship is when you get in the Spirit. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What would happen if you worshiped? This ain't been much of a sermon, but what would happen if you worshiped? What would happen if you were? I come to ask you, what would happen if you worshiped? What would happen? Think about it a minute. I'm being real with you. What would happen if we all worshiped? What would happen if we put aside all this other stuff? What would happen if we got rid of this attitude and this mindset that said, I'm going to go to church, but it's just what I do. I just go to church. It's just part of who I am. I'm an attender of church. What if we got rid of that and we really started doing what we're supposed to do, and that's worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. What would happen in this church if we began to worship the Lord like we ought to worship? I'll tell you what would happen. There's no limit to what could happen in this church if we begin to worship the Lord like we ought to. All right. All right. I'm almost done. Abraham took three things. Hey, man. He took three things. Number one, he took the wood. Three things up the mountain with him to worship. He took the wood. I got to look at this and reading about it. And I saw where some people, I really like what they said. They said that wood represents the past. That wood represented Abraham's experiences. He took those things. He took that wood that he chopped down. It was representative of the past that had brought him here, the things that had led him here. And the first thing you got to do if you're going to worship the Lord, I want to talk to you just another few minutes here on how to worship the Lord. The first thing you got to do is remember where you came from. That's what you build your foundation of worship on. That's what you build it on. You remember what you were brought out of. Hey, man, Brother John was testifying so wonderfully, I thought, Sunday night about where he'd come from. The reason he had confidence in God is because where he'd been, and where he'd been gave him confidence that he could go forward. That's the basis of worship. That's one of the building blocks of worship, is that we know that God has brought us out of some things, and he's brought us through some things. And so we bring that wood of worship, and we lay it before the Lord. We bring that past. When we come into the presence of God, we have that reverence, that wonderful feeling that my God, who has brought me this far, my God, he's the only reason I'm here. My God is the only reason that I'm still standing. It's my God. He's been so good to me. He's so wonderful. He's so holy. He's so magnificent that I gotta worship him. Hallelujah. The second thing, he took a knife. The wood was for the past and the things that were dead. This knife was for the things that are not dead yet. This knife is for the things that are still not dead. The battles that you're facing. The hurts that you've been letting hold you back. The lies of the devil that you let keep you from worshiping. Those things that when you try to lift your hand, that the devil begins to whisper in your ear, don't you remember? Don't you remember those things that you beat yourself up over? Those things that you let hold you back? Every time that you've almost had a breakthrough, it's pulled you back to where you was. Those things, when you get in the presence of the Lord, take a knife and slay those things. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. Get the attitude that nothing is going to stop you from worship. And if you'll get that attitude, there's deliverance in worship. If you'll take that attitude, there is deliverance in worship. Amen? Ooh, hallelujah. A lot of times we feel like to get delivered from something that we got to bury our face in the altar and we got to weep and moan and cry before the Lord. And that may be how you have to sometimes. It may not be all the time. But hey, man, sometimes you do. But the other times you get in the presence of the Lord and you begin to worship. And it's in the worship of the Lord that chains begin to fall off. It's in the worship of the Lord that bitternesses are healed. It's in the worship of the Lord that those hurt feelings go away. It's in worship. Amen. We don't have to come down and bury our face in the altar and cry and moan. We don't have to. You can get your deliverance with your hands raised and your voice lifted to God. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, amen. The third thing that he took fire. Amen. He took fire. Help me, Holy Ghost. Hey, man, I like that the Bible says he took fire. It don't tell us how he took fire. It just said that he took fire. He took this fire. I'll tell you, I'll make you one guarantee tonight. If you get the ingredients for worship, you get the mindset for worship, the Holy Ghost will come and bring the fire. If you get in the mindset and the attitude and the right place to worship, the Holy Ghost will bring the fire. You won't be alone in your worship. The Holy Ghost will bring you the fire. Hallelujah. Quit dying of thirst next to the fountain. Go yonder and worship. That's my message tonight. Go yonder and worship. Go yonder and worship. I'm not talking about a church-wide thing. I'd love to see everybody in the church standing and worshiping, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about individually. I'm talking about you personally. Go yonder and worship. I said, I'll go yonder and worship. Worship is not something that the church does. It's something you do. Worship is not something
that we all get together and we get to feeling good. And that's not, no. Worship is what you do when you make up your mind that nothing is going to keep you from worshiping.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm almost through. If you want to come get a song. Oh, God. Oh, God, help us right here. Jesus, Jesus. Worship. That's what we're lacking. That's one of the things we're lacking is worship.
Yes, sir.
It's missing from the church. True worship. We've got a lot of people praising. We've got a lot of people magnifying the Lord's name, and that's great. I'm for that. I'm not trying to discourage you. But I think we have very few people worshiping. We have very few people really worshiping the Lord. It's not a shout, and I love a shout, but that's not worship. It's not in the dance, and I love dancing, but that's not worship. It's not in the songs, and I love the songs. That's not worship. I'm trying to preach to you tonight on real worship. Real worship. What is real worship? Real worship is a saint of God. It's somebody that has made up their mind. They've come to a realization who God is. He's almighty, unbelievable. As much as you can understand, as much as they can understand, they've come to that realization of God. And they brought that realization to the altar. Brother Ashley, and they brought that realization before the Lord, and they said, Lord, you're so great, you're so holy, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. It's not, there's no request in it, there's no asking, there's just a recognition of who God is. That's what Abraham was going up on the mountain. He didn't understand everything. He wasn't sure about everything. You don't have to understand everything. You don't have to be sure about everything. Abraham did not know what was going to happen. And we don't always have to know what's going to happen to worship the Lord. Abraham was simply going to worship. He wasn't sure. He had his boy walking next to him. And he thought that the Lord had asked him to sacrifice him. But he was walking on anyway, because the Lord had required him to, and he was walking up the mountain to worship. Oh, God, I may be failing you tonight. I may be failing you, but I want to see some people in the house of God get thirsty for the worship of the Holy Ghost. Woo, hallelujah. If you really get thirsty like you ought to get thirsty, you'll feel it down deep in your soul. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Amen. Can we lift our hands and praise the Lord for just a minute? Oh, God. Amen. Oh, God. Do you feel it? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, man. Amen. Oh, God, give us that thirst. Give us that thirst. The only quenching of that thirst is worship. The only quenching of that thirst is that communion with God. It's different from anything you've ever felt in your life to really worship the Lord. It's not emotional. It's not fit. It's not, you may not shout, you may not dance. Nobody may even know that you're doing it, but you can be right in the middle of the storm of your life and worship the Lord. You can be right in the middle of the hardest battle you ever fought and be worshiping the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. God is looking for somebody to worship Him. God is looking for somebody in this church tonight to worship Him. Let's stand all over the house. Hallelujah. 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 Oh God. Oh God. Amen. Amen. This is the point I wanted to get to tonight. I don't care about nobody shouting. I don't care about nothing else. But people getting a desire to worship the Lord. There is something so awesome and special and wonderful about worshiping the Lord. And we're missing out. We're stopping short. We're coming to church and we're looking for a shout. We're coming to church and we're looking for a little bit of help. And we're coming to church and we're looking for this and that and everything. And we're leaving disappointed. And every day we get a little bit lower and we have to just fall back into church. And Lord, I need your help so bad. And we're always going from trouble and we're struggling. And what we need to do is start worshiping the Lord like we ought to. If we'll start worshiping the Lord, if we'll come to that place where my spirit, where your spirit will reach out and let the Holy Ghost get a hold of it. It'll refill us. It'll quench that thirst. It'll hydrate us with the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Can we lift our hands for one more time? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, oh God, I come before you tonight, Lord. Oh God, I haven't preached like I wanted to, Lord. Lord God, would you please meet us right now? Holy Ghost of heaven, would you meet us right now, Lord? Oh God, would you trouble the waters, Lord? God, would you trouble the waters right now, Lord? Oh, God, and everybody that has a desire to worship, Lord, draw them in right now, Lord. Holy Ghost of heaven, settle in this place. Oh, God, give us that thirst, Lord. Give us that thirst. Amen, amen, amen. Would you come tonight? Would you come and worship the Lord? Hallelujah.